Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm really glad you're here today. We are in the middle of the dog days of summer, that period when it's the hottest time of the summer, those sultry days from July 3rd through August the 11th. As you know, with those hot temperatures, we often get those afternoon thunderstorms. For those of us trying to manage a garden, even if it is stormy, the rains are so welcomed. I think back to years ago when I was a little girl. Anytime a storm would come up, my mama would have us unplug everything in the house and stay away from the windows. If it was an intense storm with wind and lightning, she'd have us move into the hallway and close both doors entering the hallway. She had told me that when I was very young, she had seen a funnel cloud near our house, and it was really frightening. I think that may have been why she was so cautious during storms while we were growing up, and up through my early 20s, I was cautious too during storms. Fast forward to now. I don't give storms much thought unless there's a tornado warning or flash flood warning. I don't unplug things, and I actually like to sit by the window and watch the rain and the beauty and the power of the storm. But life storms can be pretty scary, can't they? As much as we would like to, we can't dig a hole and crawl into it and hide. We have to face the storms head on to try to find peace to endure them. We can find that peace only by trusting the creator of the storm, the one who made us and who made all creation. God has a purpose for the storm. Just like storms in nature serve a purpose, God always has a purpose for allowing the storms in our lives. They are there for our good and his glory. 1 Peter 1:6 through 7 says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed." The Holy Spirit prays for us in the storm. When we're too sick, too scared, too tired, too overwhelmed, and we can't pray, the Bible says the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. Man, I'm so thankful for this. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how we should pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings." How many times have you been there? I know I have, when I didn't know how to pray. And all I could do was groan in God's direction. He's always faithful, though, and the Holy Spirit prays for us when we can't. Jesus is present during the storm. It helps us to know we're never alone in the storm as his children. Exodus 33:14 says, "Jesus replied, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" Joshua 1:9, one of my favorites, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." God provides us peace through the storm. Sometimes he calms the storm, and sometimes he calms us. John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." God's power will deliver us from the storm. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Cry out to God in your storm. His grace and power are more than sufficient to help us in our hour of need. I also pray that you will understand the the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And that's Ephesians 1:19-20. These promises from God's Word are true and we can rely on them. But how many times when we're in the thick of the storm do we struggle? I know we've all heard about Job, and anyone referring to the patience of Job must have skipped some pages while reading the book of Job. Job lost everything. He lost his children, his possessions, and his health. In his great suffering, he questioned God quite sternly. In Job 7:11, he said, "Therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." Trials come. The unthinkable happens. The unbearable lands on our doorstep. We get the news or the call no one ever wants to receive. Tragedy hits with a blow that knocks not only the breath out of us, but the life out of us too. Our hearts break so much that they physically hurt. If you haven't faced trials in your life, trust me, you will. It's tempting in those times to turn our backs on God, to blame Him, and to be angry. How can a loving God allow such terrible things to happen to good people? People who serve Him. People who love Him with all their hearts. You know, we can let our emotions out. We can scream, jump up and down, gnash our teeth, cry, punch something, throw axes, target practice with an AR. There have been times since I've lost my son Bradley to a freak skateboard accident in 2021 that I have wanted to do all those things, sometimes all at once. And you know, I've learned it's okay to let God know how I feel. He knows anyway. He can take my anger, my frustration, my hurt, my despair, my brokenness, my sorrow. He can take all of it. In fact, He is the only one who can do anything about it. Though still hard, He can help me bear it. You see, our Lord is faithful. He shows us patience and love and brings healing to our bodies and our hearts. His best comfort for Job was His presence, and the Bible says He brought more than total restoration to Job's life. I still don't quite understand because Job lost his children, but the Bible says it, so I believe it. Only God could do that. And no matter what we go through as His children, God is always there for us. And if we will trust and lean on Him, we can receive His unimaginable comfort in our worst pain. I've experienced His peaceful presence that is beyond all comprehension in the midst of the greatest storm of my life, losing my son Bradley. Truly, peace is not the absence of the storm, but the presence of Jesus in the storm. You know, we have to step out of the boat. I'm reminded of Peter, who often gets a bum rap. He is remembered for taking his eyes off Jesus while walking on the water in the storm. Peter took a step of faith, though, that the other disciples were afraid to. He got out of the boat. We have to give him props for that. They missed the blessing of walking on the stormy sea while eyes locked. Peter felt the presence of the Master and what it meant to be totally held by Him. That has to be one of the most intimate experiences of Jesus with a human during His time on earth. God's got us. God's got me. God's got you. God is sovereign. Words cannot describe His love. He knows about suffering and He understands about losing a son. He gave His only son Jesus to die a painful death in our place. I know that my son Bradley was truly always God's and never ours. And on November 10th, 2021, God took Bradley home to live in paradise with Him in eternal bliss and joy. And Scott and I were blessed to be Bradley's parents for the 21 years that he was on earth. As his grave marker reads, "He is a wild at heart adventurer now home in the arms of Jesus." This truth gives me peace every time I go to his grave. And one fine day, I'm going to see my Jesus in glory. And I'm going to be reunited with Bradley and with our parents who've gone on before us. And if you're a child of God, heaven awaits you too. No matter what our problems are, no matter what the question is, Jesus is the answer. And I don't know how he'll do it, but one day I know that Jesus is going to make everything right. Until then, the storms of life are always raging. The journey home continues, but you know, we have an anchor, and the anchor holds. I love the old prayer hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." I was reminded recently of this part of the prayer that sings such hope directly into my heart. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. A fetter is a leg shackle like a prisoner might wear. I fully realize that I desperately need Jesus to hold me fast to him, and my strength alone is not enough to anchor me. The only way I can survive and walk the rest of the stormy journey chosen for me will be in the peaceful presence of my Jesus and being held completely by the one who loves me the most, Jesus. Hebrews 6:19-20 says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf." Are you hurt? Are you angry? Do you feel like having a Job chapter 7 conversation with God? I promise you he can take it. He loves you like no other. Has he provided you peace that passes all understanding and strength for your journey? I know he has for me. Nature. God often uses nature in my life to speak peace. The beach is one of my favorite places where I experience his true peace. There's something about the bigness of the sea and the smallness of me standing by it that helped put my problems into perspective. Nothing is too hard or too big for my big, big God. The waves and the wind still know his name. He is the peace speaker, and he can easily calm the waves and the wind. How do I know? Because he's done it for me before, more than once. I believe he can, and I believe he will do it again. Even more, I know if he chooses not to calm the storm, he can, and he will calm me. And that's no easy feat sometimes. Can you relate? Don't we all seek peace? While it's something we all long for, sometimes it eludes us no matter how hard we search for it. I read recently that more people commit suicide because they lack peace than because they lack love or happiness. That's a sobering thought. Peace is what makes a widow's heartwarming smile glisten through broken-hearted tears when her family appears at her door. Peace is what makes a single woman pull her babies close and giggle as they spot their first snow of the year out the window when she doesn't know how she's going to pay the heating bill. Peace is what makes a mom and wife with a life-threatening illness pull out all the stops and work tirelessly to make a special dinner for her family. Peace is what makes a lonely wife missing her soldier husband raise money for a men's shelter and serve in their soup kitchen. Peace is what makes a grieving mother able to take a deep breath and thank God for another day. Peace is what helps each of us hold it together through one more day when things seem to be falling apart. Peace that passes all understanding. But how do you find it? Jesus brought peace into the world when he was born on that blessed night so long ago. The angels proclaimed it. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Luke 2:13-14. I don't know about you, but because I'm reading a scripture from Christmas, I'm already feeling cooler in this terrible heat. Peace, blessed peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." And when he got ready to ascend to heaven, he left us with peace. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." When Jesus shed his blood for us, he poured peace into the world, sweet peace. And because of his sacrifice and our acceptance of his gift of everlasting life, we can rest knowing that whatever we face is temporary. We have heaven to look forward to one day, and while we are here, he will help us through. He will either speak peace to our storms, or he'll speak peace to us. Dear Lord, sometimes confusion and defeat creep in, trying to steal our joy. We need your deep down in my heart kind of peace that stays with us day and night and speaks confidently to the waves and to the wind. Please calm our anxious spirit, Lord. All the attacking if-onlys and what-ifs that fill us with needless worry. These are the things that keep us up at night, but you already know that. Trust is a big part of experiencing peace, and fear has no place in our lives. We can't control people, plans, or even our circumstances, but we can yield those things to you, and we can focus on your goodness. Thank you today for every good gift you've given us, every blessing you've sent, all the forgiveness we did not deserve, and yes, for every trial you've allowed. You bring good out of every circumstance if only we'll let go and believe you. Whenever we're stressed, anxious, or afraid, please help us remember who to run to. You're the only one that can calm our fears. You are our peace, Lord. And when we draw close to you in prayer, in reading your word, in helping somebody, in taking our minds off ourselves, there you are. Thank you for always being there with your sweet peace. Thank you for providing us grace in the wilderness. Amen. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust Him, and may His river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.